Ben Foulkes is the most beautiful cricketer in the world.
Stuart Broad is Cherries and Berries legend.
Glenn Maxwell is in the Cherries and Berries big boy category.
Good evening and welcome to the Cherries and Berries Cricket Podcast. Tonight, we wrap up the T20s, we chew down on the bones of the first ODI and possibly look forward, or with dread, to the second ODI. Joining me tonight are Darren Price, Tom Fairclough, and we have a last-minute substitution for Ollie Harker, who can't make it, and in his place, Connor Warwin. Good evening, fellas.
Evening, Ozzie.
Good evening.
And evening, Ozzie.
Evening, and welcome Connor Warwin to the show.
Hooray! Big man Con, here he is.
Lovely to see you.
Pleasure to be with you, thank you for having me.
Welcome, Connor, welcome.
Connor, just give us a, and I know I'm springing you on this, and it's partly on purpose, but give us a quick cricketing biopic of Connor Warwin.
Oh, I've been playing for donkey's years. Name around the club that you can't get rid of. The Ross Taylor of Northern Cricket Club, if you will.
Nice.
Certainly averaged well over 10 in the previous season.
Better than Mozzie.
If you check the stats, you find I was deathless.
Well, that's perfect. That is a success.
That is a personal best.
Can I just add something in there? So, a couple of years ago, I was square leg umpire at Droitwich. Connor was batting, and I think it was the last over of our innings. And he hit one of the most beautiful sixes I've ever seen. And it went straight over my head.
We won that game, didn't we?
We did.
About the only one that year.
So say, that's the only one to your ratio, isn't it, Mars, as a skipper?
Standout for that game for me was three consecutive balls. Lewis Hill was dropped.
he gets a mention back this every bowler, week, doesn't he?
Nearly.
Anyway, we digress. on to the show. Tonight we're going to be wrapping up the T20s. And we're going on to one-day internationals and everything else cricket-wise that's going on of note. First thing is a bit of news that I got an email yesterday just as I was prepping for the show, and it said that we were...
A drum roll, please.
22nd on Apple Podcasts Cricket UK charts. For cricket podcasts, we were 22nd. Now there may only be
22.
There may only be 22 or 23, but it's a win.
Still
22nd. We're on a list.
We are on the table.
Anything goes wrong, it's
well,
all Mozzie.
Just got to get above that relegation zone, and we'll be there. We'll be right.
Just like West Brom need to, isn't that right, Bobby?
Yeah, thanks for that. What will be really funny is if. Like next week, we get up to like say 19. Do we keep Connor, or do we have to bring back Ollie Harker? Because we could say, well, actually, Connor's made all the difference, Ollie.
I think it's on a 30-day rotation, so may take a while to get the data for that.
Okay. I'm in, so Ollie can be in the Ashes later this year.
the cricket, the Cherries and Berries cricket podcast rotation.
Mozzie becomes Ed Smith.
Yeah.
With his bingo machine at home.
Mozzie's bingo balls.
Is that what they're called now?
Yeah.
Moving swiftly on from my bingo balls. Ian wrote in last week and we took on his excellent feedback and digressed into a little bit of the stuff on mental health. But what we did forget was to actually... talk about his question, which was, how long are T20s supposed to last? Because they used to take around about 3 hours for a 2020, and now just one innings is taking 2.5, and more. The whole thing's going way over four and a half hours. This is ridiculous. And frankly, it is, and it's not got any better in the ODI, which the ODI innings took 4.25 hours. Bear in mind, that we get fined if we don't do our 50 overs in 3 hours. It's an hour and a quarter longer, the Indian innings. Crazy.
Are we fined enough? There's a lot of talk on the TalkSport commentary I listen to, complaints about the over rate, and is the penalty enough against the captains?
Well, no, it's not. I don't think you can fine them financially. I don't really think they care if they miss a game here or there. It's a bit like taking that second yellow card. You get it just to miss a game that you don't care about. These demerit points don't really work. I think a run penalty would stop it instantly.
Yeah. This is where, and I say this quite a lot, cricket does not help itself. T20 should be fast and furious. It should be three hours over and done with. Happy days. Everyone's happy. Enjoyed it. And I've got to say, I started to switch off from the T20 series, if I'm honest. I just thought it was a bit meh. I just didn't really enjoy it. And we do seem to be faffing about. I'm trying to stop using the word dicking, because I had some feedback from Happy Pete in Ireland that I use the word dicking quite a lot. So I'm going to try and now say faffing about. And you see the players faffing about too many times, having drinks, a change in the gloves. Get on with the goddamn game.
That is a very valid point. Well, in its, and I'll put it in inverted commas, its original guise, when they first started bringing it out, the players were instructed to run to the wicket between batsmen's getting out. And I know in the Legends game, most of them were coming off 10 paces rather than coming off the full run. I know they're getting old and that was probably just what they felt like doing. But surely, in its original guise, it wasn't created in the early 2000s, T20 cricket. We have been playing that game at club level for years. And 12-pace run-ups were common. And you have to get the game done before the light goes. So you just play it hard and fast. I just don't understand why they have to take so long. So Ian, it was originally supposed to take 3 and a bit hours. They take the piss now, and that's about all we can say for it.
And it's us that lose out. Us, the viewers, the supporters. We're the ones that are losing out. And eventually, though, you know, cricket will lose out because, you know, we haven't all got time to spare watching cricket. You know, we've all got pressures in our lives. And if cricket's going to take longer than it's originally planned for, then I'm like, no, I haven't got time.
Well, no, I might have to give up my job in order to watch it.
Well, that was the thing. With the fourth T20, I started work at 6. And I had to listen to the last over in the car on the way to work because it took that long. I was just... It's just like when we played 2020 a few years ago on that Sunday, Moz, we got in trouble with the umpire because we were behind on the run rate. So, you know, it's like it's that seeing it in professional cricket, it's going to have an impact down to grassroots level, which at the end of the day, like we've said before, like on ourselves, why we should be starting earlier on a Saturday is purely on this reason, is it just takes too long to get through a day of cricket when there's tees involved as well.
Well, yeah, and we have, you know, often we'll bowl 70 wides in an innings.
Yeah.
You know, the pros don't have to contend with that and still get their overs done in 3 hours. right, so on to the actual action. Wrapping up the T20s, India won 3-2 in the end. They won the last two. I'll just run down the scores of both and then we can crack into our thoughts on it. So India made about a par 185 for 8 in the fourth. England choked. Then in the fifth, India made a mammoth 224 and England choked. Discuss, boys.
We choked. Move on.
yeah, especially with the World Cup coming up, the selection's going to have to be very not lottery balled, not bingo balled selection, I think. Now it's going to have to be on form and players that are actually performing, because, you know, that series, it just wasn't good enough from some of the players that you'd expect to have a good series, coming off some of the form that they are on as well. I obviously understand that players have a dip in form, but then obviously if you have a dip in form for a couple of games, you think, right, get my head down, work a bit harder in the nets, to then, you know, even just get a bit of a positive out of the next game. But we just seem to just, yeah, choke.
Consistency issue from the top and middle orders. Jason was probably the biggest example of that. 40 is the tiny score, 40 tiny score, not worth mentioning the ODI score.
Yeah.
Is that lack of form? Is that confidence?
I think a lot of it's the order as well. Because you think, was it three or four in that middle order is just left-handers the way it was? Because they put Butler up, didn't they, to open with Roy? They had Mo as well, just sitting there. Look at us, a few podcasts ago, we were moaning and talking about, like, oh, right, Mo's been sent to India. He's played one test. He's now gone home. Right, he's coming back out. Oh, and he's just sat on the bench again. He's a quality player at white ball cricket. Why not use him? Sam Curran, in my opinion, didn't have a very good series, even at the first couple of games. If it was me, I'd have been like, right, drop him, put Mo in, because Mo is an all-rounder, Curran is an all-rounder. You know, it is a lot. Yes, it's not a like-for-like in the bowling, but it's like-for-like in their, you know, all-rounder for an all-rounder. And Mo gives you that little bit more with the bat as well.
Do you think as well that we miss Joe Root in the T20? Now, I know that Joe Root is, you wouldn't say Joe Root is an out-and-out T20 player. However, he's very good at anchoring the innings, isn't he, in a T20, I think. Have we missed him? Have we missed his presence in that squad?
Well,
would he do a better job than Milan?
Well,
having them both in, slowly building a base. One or the other.
Yeah, you couldn't have two. Otherwise, you go down the same route as India in the first three ODIs, where you're looking at 165. You're never looking at 185, which should be the minimum you look for, and 224 is the top level that you're looking for. So you can only ever have one of those anchors. If they're Kohli, you can get away with them opening, and if you've got someone like Rohit going at 160 alongside him, then that's fine, because he stalled their power play, Kohli, especially in this 224. The power play was not well done from Kohli's point of view. He's going at 110 strike rate, but Rohit had got his new head on and was teeing off at the other end, and then you had everyone else coming in teeing off alongside, and then all of a sudden you get up to that mammoth total. So I don't think you could have Root and Milan. That's not to say one or the other is better for me. I don't know whether it is. If you're not playing Moeen, then maybe Root is better because he gives you a spin option. But if you are playing Moeen, then maybe he isn't. I get a little bit confused as to why. We wasted a bit of the power play, but that still, we were still in the chase. And then what has been clear to me is those middle order have struggled to kick on. And that's not just the T20s. We'll address it in the ODI as well, where that we're missing Butler in those overs. Don't get me wrong, I think Butler's excellent. And all the statisticians say he is best at the top and you want to give him the most amount of balls. And that's fine. However, is he that much better up there than, for instance, Bairstow batting at the top? Is he going to score quicker there than Bairstow is, and more consistently and more runs than Bairstow is? Is that differential more or less than the differential of having someone else playing that lower order finisher? Because in that position, Butler is so far ahead of everybody else that the difference is massive from the next one down. Stokes takes some balls to get in. I don't think that's his role. Morgan wants to take that finishing role on, but sometimes he's a bit hit and miss, which means you need two finishers, and Butler's the best of them. I don't understand, if you watch Bairstow go, how he is not at the top of the order. And then you have to say there's other people that could play at the top of the order as well. Hales, Roy, and do you need to play Stokes at three?
I agree. I think Bairstow and Roy should be the openers.
I don't mind Sam Curran, but he's probably not in my first 11. He's an in and outer. But I don't understand why we would have done what we've done to Moeen Ali. And we can get on to that. But India altered their mindset, altered their game plans, and grew throughout this series. And I don't think England did. Thakur bowled really well. Bumrah, unbelievable. And Rohit had an adjustment of his mindset to do exactly what he needed to do to bat alongside Kohli.
It doesn't bode well, does it, if you think the World Cup is in India later this year. I say that, you know, we only lost 3-2, but I don't know, something doesn't feel right to me. And I know we'll talk about the one day in a bit. But I don't know, I think we're missing something, we're lacking something. I don't know.
I think they're just mentally fatigued.
Yeah, Tom, it could be that because, you know, I got asked this question at work the other day. Is there too much cricket? I went, yeah, there is.
The ECB are trying to put so much cricket on so people have got something to watch and to kind of, you know, I think it's to kind of lift the spirits of the nation. But at the end of the day, you just look at some of their players, some of our players, and even some of the Indians after like the Test series as well. They're, you know, there's been that much cricket. Yeah. They've been in so many bubbles. They've isolated as well. And it's just, you know, it's a long way to travel as well. To then, like, you know, to go into a week of quarantine to get there, to then go into another further week or 10 days, it's just going to take a toll.
What we know is that India have done brilliantly. And if you imagine that they're going to get Jadeja back and Bumrah, that is a fearsome prospect, especially with these not always young, but these guys that were debutants or untested at the international stage coming in and smashing it and having the mindset to just go hard. You know, they were striking at that pinnacle rate, 140 to 160. They were looking up there right from the start, no messing around. So that's scary for them. It did feel to me like we have, England, have a reverse test batting problem, where in tests we've got 7, 8, 9 people who can bat 5, 6, 7, and not many who can bat 1, 2, and 3. In this, in the T20s, we've got a lot of people that can bat 1, 2, 3, and not that many who can do the job at 5, 6, 7. And in which case, why not try Billings in that T20? Why not try Livingston in that T20? If you're not going to play Mo, you may as well play Livingston because he can bowl you a bit of tweet, but also he's a proper batsman. This lad can really play, not got a look in. And that comes to the question, where is Mo? And we got a bit of an answer in that he played in the One Day International. But why would you send him home for him to miss the whole of the T20?
And again, it's Moeen Ali, isn't it, we're talking about in this situation. We don't ever talk about another cricketer like this. I don't know. I can only put it down to, and I've said this before, Ashley Giles, because I know for a fact that Ashley Giles, Moeen Ali did not see eye to eye when they were at Warwickshire at the same time many years ago. That's a well-known fact. Moeen Ali spoke about it in his autobiography. That's the only thing I can put it down to. Now, some people might say, Darren, you're out of order saying that. Come up with something different, because I can't put my finger on anything else.
I've got nothing else to do. He plays well when he's when the team bats him, and he has that confidence around him.
Yeah.
We all know what he does. He does it well. But I just couldn't imagine being that man right now.
No, I think he's been made a scapegoat, because you look at when, you know, England are in the shit and someone's got us out of the shit, it's always Mo. A good 2-3 overs where he's hit a quick 40. He's always dragged England out of the shit, and he's everybody's hero. But as soon as something goes wrong, it's, it's Mo. Right, we'll drop Mo. And that's what it is. He should be made a scapegoat. From Test to T20s, and he wouldn't be surprised if he gets dropped now for the rest of the ODIs.
I wouldn't be surprised, and I know we'll come on to that, but I thought he did all right, but we can come on to that in a minute. But I've said this before a few episodes ago. I'm a massive England fan, but if they're going to keep taking the piss out of the guy, I'd like to see him back at New Road playing for the Decatur.
Mm. I think we've depressed ourselves enough talking about our choking of the T20s. I had a thought, and I created an alternative reality, an alternative
That's
T20
very dangerous.
Team. And this team, I am calling the Joe Root Rebel 11. I just want to hear your thoughts on how you think this team would fare against the current England side. Hales and Cadmore opening.
What a surprise.
Oh, Cola Cadmore, college. Ooh.
Joe Root, captain at 3. Joe Clark, 4. Tom Banton, 5. Sam Billings, keeping wicket, 6, so he doesn't keep busting his shoulder. Moeen Ali at 7. Chris Wokes at 8. Liam Dawson, 9. Rhys Topley at 10 and Tymal Mills at 11. Now, I've got a caveat that if you don't want a second spinner or if it's not appropriate for that second spinner, Sack Mahmood is there as well. Or if you don't want two left-handers, you can put in Sack Mahmood there. How do you think that would work?
Be an interesting game.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see Ben Cox in that squad.
And I'd like to see David Willey.
You just love seeing Willey, don't you, Tom?
Believe. Nah, Big Dave is lethal. He can bat as well.
No, I agree. David Willey is a player who...
You know, he got dropped from the World Cup and, you know, I felt really bad for him. Obviously, someone had to be dropped for Jofra and it's just unfortunate it was him because, you know, he, like I said again, he was made the scapegoat and dropped. And he, you know, when he opened the bowling for England in the One Days and the T20s, he always done really well, put everything into it for the team.
Well, I think this side has just as much firepower at the top. It's got an anchor in route. Clark, Banton, Billings are very creative, strong hitters, can go big, but they play 360. All of those guys play 360. And then you've got further beyond that, Moeen and Wokes, who are proper batsmen, and Dawson. Dawson bats 5 down at Hampshire. I mean, that's got power all the way down. And Tymal Mills, the whole point of I thought, when he burst onto the scene,
rapid,
was that England were just going to only play him in England games. And then you've not seen him for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I thought that was what they were doing. He goes to Loughborough, trains with England. We're just going to protect him and play him in England games. And he's not been seen since.
And he's
another 90-mile-an-hour merchant.
Well, 95 miles an hour. Yeah. He is the quickest of the bunch. Yeah.
And he's not being... Like, imagine having him and Jofra and Woody.
And Wood, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, you know, even if they protected him and go, do you know what, we might just out of the hat throw him in an Ashes game. Imagine having that on the Gabba, that 3 attack. I understand that because of his back and everything, but you could just imagine it'd be absolute carnage, I think.
And Saqib Mahmood is so unlucky not to be in that squad. I just don't understand it. And so who would win?
The Rebel.
Do you know, right now, I think the Rebels would, because of, I think there's a, I don't know if it's fatigue, as Tom said, or a confidence thing.
There's a lot of form of those players that are in the Rebel side as well.
Yeah, and I think those Rebels would be hungry.
You know, they'd be playing for that shirt, and they'd be like, right, well, I'm going to do everything to take that shirt from him.
Yeah. They'd be hungry, they'd have the desire, and they'd have a point to prove as well. And also, if you think Alex Hales probably hates more, Moeen Ali be like, do you know what, I'm going to give you, like, no, like, good idea. So, yeah, I think the Rebels would win quite handsomely.
Cool. Well,
I'm back in Team A, Morgan's team.
We're going to have a balanced view.
Okay. The next thing is the ODI, first ODI. India played nicely without setting the world alight too early. Finished off very nicely. It was a bit of a swings and roundabouts in the game where they got off to a reasonable flyer. England pegged it back in the middle. And then the last 10 overs, India teed off with Kunal Pandya on debut, smashing ball to all parts, racking up 320 odd.
317 for 5 off their 50 overs.
Which was, I think, around about par. But England probably should. They should have been having to chase less than that.
Yeah.
The last 10 overs weren't good enough. And I have a question on that from one of the listeners in a second. Is there a perceived arrogance in the white ball side because their theory, because we can chase anything down and now we don't have to look at the bowling and manage totals?
That's a really good question.
So this is from Craig Miller, by the way.
Cheers, Miller.
My concern is that, yes, we are the world champions, right? And that's what, nearly 2 years ago now, isn't it? I always say that the best champions are those that defend titles. And right now, I'm not convinced that we can defend our world title.
There's a nice shirt on there,
Tang. Say that again, sorry, Connor.
There's a nice Liverpool shirt on there, Tang.
Thank you, mate. Another one that's not defended one.
Yeah. Hey.
Yes, Connor. Yes.
I tell you what I think we're missing in the ODI team. We just talked about players, right? And I know he's getting on a bit, but I think they got rid of him too early.
Who am I talking about? Plunkett. Absolutely right.
That's another beautiful man, Darren.
Yeah, he's a gorgeous guy. Yeah, not as beautiful as Ben Folkes, but...
He's up there. You know, he's up there in the Bobby Dazzler beautiful book.
Yeah, I'm just a bit concerned thinking...
It would have been helpful for him in those middle overs to have him. Although Stokes and Woody came back and did the job in those overs, but to have Plunkett around, why would you discard the guy so early? Even if he's not going to make 2023, he can then show the ropes to those guys who are going to do that job. He doesn't have to play every game. Play one here, swap out for a younger guy if you need him to. It's baffling. Their treatment of various players over the years.
Yeah.
Absolutely baffling.
So you got...
But watching... It was yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah. Watching yesterday, I have to say, I was really disappointed with our performance. Really disappointed. I thought we gave our wickets away cheaply. I thought it was a poor performance. We're supposed to be the world champions. And yes, we're playing in India. It's always tough. We should have won that yesterday. Especially after the start that Bairstow and Roy gave us. Not good enough. Not good enough at all, and the players need to know that.
Yeah, it was like you look at our bowling, and here's the figures. So Wood, 10 overs, 2 for 75. Sam Curran, 10 overs, 0 for 48. Ollie's best mate, Tom Curran, 10 overs, 0 for 63. Ben Stokes, 8 overs, 3 for 34. Bit positive for that one from Stokesy. Rashid, 9 overs, 0 for 66. Moeen, 3 overs, 0 for 28.
Yeah, so all the spinners, early doors, even the Indian ones, were going at tens and over. So I know that Kunal pulled his back latterly in our last sort of 10 overs of our innings. But he had been going at 10 and over. When Bairstow and Roy were going, they were all under the pump. Thakur and
Cool Deep, 9 over, 0 for 68. So yeah, he was getting some tap.
Yeah,
I think it was a good track, and we just gave our wickets away. I really believe that
it probably wasn't a par 3-2-4. I think you probably could have chased close to 400 on that. If we'd have batted first, I think we'd have got close to 400, because the way Bairstow and Roy went, by 20 overs, we were 12 overs ahead of the game. And then what happened was Butler got out, Stokes looked all at sea, and Morgan had a split webbing on his finger, and Billings had a dodgy shoulder, and they all came out batting in their proper positions. Well, when you've got Moeen and... there was another batsman. Anyway, they could have moved up, or Butler could have come out before...
Sam Curran.
Well, Butler could have come out before Morgan. He came out just after him. Yeah. He could have come out before him. You could have just shifted those guys who had sore hands and given the other guys, not that they ran out of time, they just eventually stuffed it up. And Bhuvneshwar Kumar bowled amazingly. And the guys, those debutants, dragged it back from being under the pump. The opening bowler, Krishna. So Krishna. His first over went for 22 or something.
Yeah, it was.
What were his final figures?
8.1 overs, 4 for 54 of an economy of 6.61.
Well, you take 22 in as one over where he got manhandled by
32. Bester. So, 4 for 32 off 8.1.
That's good returns. And that shows a lot of bottle. And it shows what having faith from your board can do for you. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like England are interested in giving our guys any of that chance.
So where's our priority at the moment? Is it Test match cricket? Is it T20 World Cup? Or is that our ODI team? Because I'm really
confused. I'll tell you what, I don't even think they have a clue themselves, Darren. Personally, the way performances have been in the selections, I don't think England haven't got a clue. There's Morgan talking about the 2020, thinking, right, players in this ODI are going to be, you know, putting on a show for themselves to make, you know, put their name in the hat for the 2020. But then you look at it and you're like, well, nobody's put, like, the ODIs, T20s, the tests, I don't think nobody knows. I think everybody, like I've said before, mental fatigue, all the cricket they had in the in the bubble last summer, you know, then you know, they've been then straight to training. Then it's, right, Sri Lanka, right, now we're going straight to India. And then as soon as they get back, it's going to be another summer cricket. So they're going to be in a biosecure bubble again. It's I don't know. England don't know either.
I'd have thought more eggs must be going in the T20 World Cup basket than in the Test match. So, I don't really know what the numbers are behind it, but I would assume that's probably more lucrative, the shorter form for the average viewer. I mean, people love the Ashes, which we would probably all want to be the precedent, the thing we're working towards. But business point of view, it's got to be going towards the White.
It's got, after winning the you know, winning the World Cup in 2019, they've got to be thinking, right,
for the barest of margins.
By the good quote there, like that. Then they're going to think, right, now we're going to take the T20, and then once they've done the T20, that short time is going to be, right, now we focus on the Ashes. I reckon they're just trying to do a clean sweep completely. Win the 2020 and then do Australia down under. But at the moment, there seems to be no plan whatsoever.
Well, if Tom Curran plays tomorrow, I just don't know what I'm going to do.
I think Ollie's going to hit the roof, and our group chat is going to go absolutely mad of Ollie just effing and jeffing.
How much do we miss Andrew Strauss? Because when he was in charge, what was his role? The director of cricket, role, whatever it's called. We knew that white ball cricket was the main focus. After that diabolical World Cup in 2015, it was all about white ball cricket. And we went on to win the World Cup. Excellent, brilliant. I don't think there's that strategy, that structure, that plan, that...
Well, I think Morgan thinks that that is
that
the plan.
Management, that leadership.
And I think that he's going to get... I think Morgan wants to revolutionise 50-over cricket as well. So, which is why, slightly, I don't understand why Bairstow doesn't open in the T20. Because if he did what he did yesterday in a T20, we'd score nearly 300. He was unbelievable. And he can do that in a 2020 and keep going. So why...
Look, Bairstow's...
It was 135 at the first fall of the first wicket, and that was in the 14th over. You know, he keeps going. Like you said, we're going to be hitting like 250, 300.
So I just don't understand why that wouldn't be a thing. But Morgan wants his batsmen, and I'm not so fussed about us collapsing. If we collapse, that's on the middle order. But what Morgan requires, and what Morgan will be mad at, and behind the scenes I would suggest he's probably kicking off a little bit, is that he expects the guys to go out and have intent. And I've said this quite a lot. It's not necessarily about you getting a strike rate of 150. Sometimes you try, you're trying to whack it and you just can't. But you've got to have the intention of trying to score at that rate. And those guys coming in after Bairstow and Roy, who were totally... I know, Darren, you said on our chat a bit tongue-in-cheek and sending out a fishing rod to try and hook me, which it obviously did. Con, you weren't on this one, but basically he said that... Bairstow played a horrendous shot, and why did he do that in the position that he was? But that is his role. His role is to go and smash every ball as far as he possibly can, and the role of the next person is to continue to do that. The only people that shouldn't do that is the anchor, the one anchor who should just anchor that innings, and that is Root or Milan. Why wasn't Milan in the side? Oh, we want to play Stokes at three, but Stokes should be playing three in the 2020, but playing five and six in the 50 over format. You've got it the wrong way.
I thought Stokes looked out of sorts yesterday. He just could not get. He couldn't time the ball, could he?
No,
he couldn't get going. And that, but the way he got out was so soft. I mean, Indy did not work for that. They didn't.
And then
he gave his wicket away.
He actually performs better when he's got a little bit more time. He takes a few balls to get in, and then he can go on. But I think at that sort of 3-4-5, you want guys who are going to go in and just keep smashing it. And then if you need to rebuild at 6 and 7, you can do that. And Stokes is ideal for that. In the T20, he takes a few balls to get in, so he has to be in that number 3 role if you want him there. And for Milan, just not to be in the power play, so you drop down or you root. But you can't have too many of these anchors because it confuses the brand that Morgan wants. Morgan wants consistent power hitting all the way. And this is what he comes out in the interviews and goes, well, I've asked them to play. We will fail to reach targets at times because we'll get skittled. But it's because I want us to be able to knock off big totals, and we need to keep going all the way through. But I don't think they really did that. I think they lost impetus in the middle.
Yeah. No doubt, yeah. You've mentioned it, something I was thinking about in order to raise. Why wouldn't Milan make it into the 50-over team?
Absolutely no reason. He's probably better suited to it.
Particular reason, yeah?
He's better suited to it than T20 cricket, in my opinion.
If you can't have Root in at 3, then that is a nostalgic choice, I'd have thought.
I agree.
Stokes maybe could make a go of it, but after 4 grueling tests, a full T20 series, chopping it at number 3,
yeah.
I didn't buy it, personally.
No, nor me.
As I said, disappointing. And we now need to show why we are the world champions. It's only three games, isn't it, this series?
Mm.
So we need to come back now and show them why we're the world champions.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I think there was 2 other things, actually, which just baffled me as well. The squad that we've got for this is 14 men, and then doesn't actually have Milan or 2 others in it who are there with the squad. Why aren't they in the squad? Why are they as reserves?
Because we're England.
I just don't.
The numbers weren't called from the bingo machine.
There you go.
But why would you not have a squad of 17?
Answers on a postcard.
I reckon you should send a letter to your local MP to find out, sir.
Yeah, it worked last time, didn't it?
It did. We got a response.
Got folks in.
We did.
It must be financial. They must be on a contract that means that they don't need to be, if they're in this extra bit on the end, that they don't get full wages or they get less money or something. That must be the only reason. I can't imagine what other reason there could be, because it's not an ICC regulation. You can just have whoever, and if they needed to, and they will do this week because they've got 2 injuries, they'll need to bring a couple in. Baffling.
Yeah. Can I say as well, from a personal point of view, watching the T20s and the ODIs, of which I do enjoy, I really, as I was watching, really realised just how much I prefer test match cricket.
Yeah, test cricket is the daddy.
I can't wait to go this summer.
Yeah.
Me and Bobby sat there with a beer in hand.
It's just not the same, is it?
It's going to be amazing, Darren.
It's just not the same.
Hand in hand.
You boys got any tickets booked?
We are hand in hand on the way to Edgbaston.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
You're going to see New Zealand?
Yeah.
So, moving on. We've got... we've been known to... Or I've probably more correctly been known to give some pelters to Mr. Kohli for his actions. And there's twofold on this. Firstly, Parkinson on Kohli. This is not the interviewer, Michael. What actually happened? And then we'll discuss whether we think Kohli just went and proved his point the other day.
I think we should hand this over to the new man, DeathCon, Connor Walwyn, as he's been doing the research on the tweets. I couldn't find them.
Oh my God, it's horrendous stuff. Very, very funny though. I mean, I wasn't able to dig up any context to what matches were happening at the time. But this is from different years. It's not even just one particular rant. How bad is Virat Kohli, 27th of August 2014? Hashtag England.
I think they were over here. What
were we doing there?
I would have thought they must have been over here and he must have been snicking off.
Undoubtedly. This one's clearly can write off as an April Fool's joke, 4th of April. It would have been just hate Kohli. That's all he's written there.
Kohli's probably just hit a ton.
Just
off him in a friendly.
Virat Kohli is a W and then it's been censored. Viewers can write in as to what they think was going on there. My personal pick of these, 25th of December 2012. So he's had his Christmas dinner. He's slopped the Baileys or two down in.
2012.
He's,
can anyone just find out for me how old Matt Parkinson is?
Yeah, I'll have a look now.
Sorry,
he's just piped in with a chin up, Coley, you cocky, arrogant prick.
That's probably Arnold on his on Parkinson's Twitter. That sounds something like you'd say. Parkinson's 24.
24, born, so that's when he was 14.
Okay. Ah, okay then.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yeah, I'll answer on behalf of Parkinson.
Matt Parkinson plays for Lancashire.
He's in the squad. He's been over in Sri Lanka and India for the whole period as a reserve, right. And he's actually managed to get in the squad now, but still not managed to get in the side because of the logic of Ed Smith.
He's got a twin, hasn't he, Callum, that plays for Leicester.
Good knowledge, Tom. I'll take it.
Just been named Leicestershire vice captain as well.
Oh, nice.
I've not got his Twitter up.
No. Well, all those things actually don't sound that drastic. I did see one where he's basically given pelters to Jadeja, and I thought that was a bit harsh because Jadeja is not necessarily quite as bad as Coley. It just strikes me that Coley went and proved all those things when basically he chases over as Butler's off the pitch, or just about off the pitch, to give him some abuse. And then when the umpire pulls him up on it, gives the umpire some abuse.
I miss this.
If we did this at our level, we would get 3-match suspension. In fact, we get 3-match suspensions if we just say, "Oh, umpire, you're blind," or something like that, or "You're deaf." On the case,
you get a ban
the,
just for asking, "What did it do, ump?"
Yeah. The so how is it that Coley can stand there shouting in the umpire's face, wagging his finger, slapping his hand, shouting, having just given a send-off? And I know apparently Butler sent him off in the previous game. It was a lot more subtle, I guarantee, than Coley playing the big pants up in the umpire's face. I just don't get it. Anyway, just proved Matt Parkinson's point for my money. Anyone else?
Oh, just, it's laughable, really. 14 years of age, just calling him a prick. It's brilliant. Are you sure it wasn't you? You're not like, you know.
I bowl about as fast as Matt Parkinson. No. That's probably fair.
What's that, about 40?
Yeah.
42 at a push.
Yeah. Cool.
To be fair, I don't think too much weight or should be put into these, because again, the lad was 14, just chatting to probably, absolute at the time, knowledge. 12 or 13 followers, two of which would be his parents.
Couple of mates.
I don't think it was necessarily right to bring this up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can I just say, kids, don't go on Twitter.
unless you're coming to interact with
the CBC.
The CBC podcast, of course, yes.
You can follow us on Twitter.
There's two accounts worth following on Twitter. Obviously, this podcast, and then another one which goes by the name of Is Stuart Broad Batting? And it will only tweet when Stuart Broad is at the crease.
That's amazing.
That's brilliant.
I love
that. I've got to plug that one. Personal favourite.
Okay, moving on swiftly. Craig Miller had a second question, which he put in. If you could combine a bat and a bowl from the England team right now, who would you take to create the great all-rounder? Ooh. I mean, for me, I'm just going to put it straight out there. It's Mark Wood and Johnny Bairstow, because you take a really lovely, crazy bloke who bowls gas and put him with a burly, ginger, aggressive, natured, sort of pent-up aggression, ready-to-explode batsman who smashes it everywhere, and you've got the ultimate machine for me. For you guys.
Well, that's already made up of me, really.
I don't know
it?
How to follow that.
I'm nice, burly ginger, and I bowl absolute gunnage with these.
Absolute gas.
Yes. I would have to go. He bowls gas, and he's an absolute lad. His banter is on point. He's just a great laugh. And David Milan.
Oh, a bit of culture.
Nice, sophisticated choice.
Thank you.
I've gone with a spin option. So I thought that might be not something everyone would go for. And smashing Johnny Bairstow together with Adil Rashid.
Nice.
Very, very weird looking hair.
Gun bat, bit of leg spin.
I like it.
Yes, please.
See, I'm going to go for Moeen Ali and Adil Rashid. So I think that combination together
would be amazing. He's now a mystery, the length of that beard. He's now a mystery spinner. Yeah. He bowls the one that goes that way, and he can bowl the one that go that way.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I like it, Bobby. I like it. Very good. Craig, love that. Anybody that wants to tweet in their combined batter and bowler to make the great all-rounder, feel free to message us in on that. Right, moving on. Ollie wanted me to point out, especially on this, the West Indies are playing Sri Lanka. It's a very interesting test. Sri Lanka struggled somewhat in their first innings. The West Indies batted nicely with Carl Mayers scoring another 40-odd or 50. But Ollie asked me to pay particular interest to Captain Brathwaite's performance in relation to Jason Holder's performance. Brathwaite got, a 28-ball 3, or was it a 48-ball 3?
27 for 5,
sir,
isn't it?
So Holder got 5 for 27.
Oh, sorry.
But Craig Brathwaite, I think his batting in the first innings, I think three off 28 balls, 58 balls?
43.
43 balls. Well batted, Craig. Shot me. Ollie doesn't like Craig for what he's done to Jason, shall we say?
It must be weird. I'd like to know how he feels taking over from Holder, because I try and relate things in sport to work and vice versa. And many, many years ago, I was given a job above someone else who I thought should have got that job. And then suddenly I was their line manager. I did not feel comfortable at all that this person had been overlooked. So how does he feel taking over from Holder? Because I think we all agreed last week that Holder wasn't doing a bad job, was he, for the West Indies as captain?
I'll tell you what, from a cricketing point of view, obviously I've got experience in taking over. Like from Mozzie, I took over the first team, and it's like, it was a weird one for me, because obviously it was like kind of my, well, it was my first, you know, big main thing at a cricket club, being made first team captain. And it's like, it's a lot to live up to. Obviously, like, I know it's completely different from grassroots to professional, but there's a lot that goes on, like, that you've got to think team selection, not upsetting people and things like that. And it is, you know, because each captain has their different way about things. Like, they play a certain way. Like, you have some captains that, you know, play aggressively, and then you have some captains that play aggressively, but then they know where the line is and where to, you know, bring the spirit of the game in. But then you've got some captains that just play straight down, spirit of the game, and don't like any aggressiveness or anything over the top. So, you know, it's for Jason Holder as well. Like listening to the pod last week, because obviously I was at work, he wasn't doing a bad job. In a way, he kept that West Indies cricket team together when the board was going to absolute shit.
And I don't know, that it must be really awkward for Craig because he won't have asked for this, and he probably won't have wanted it. And it's just typical of the West Indies that they've done this. But some people, greater minds than me, say it's a results business, and they think Craig can get more out of this squad. And the resources on the pitch seem to be coming back. And if you let that drift off as a board, maybe if Jason's not the one. But he's had 5 years. I mean, he's not.
Only time will tell, won't it? Only time will tell.
Yeah. But his form as a cricketer improved with captaincy, which not many can say that consistently all the way through.
God, no. Drops massively.
Tom Fairclough talking with experience.
mind you, your batting didn't have a fair way to drop, did it?
No. But to be fair, you can back that up as well, because to be fair, when that last year of you being skipper, you weren't doing too well with a bat.
Which last year? I've tried to give it up.
Hold on, boys. Hold on.
I've tried to give it up so many times, I can't.
Is this what Ollie's here for? I think
if we look, yeah, I did only have one arm, and I think probably I did average 25, which is par for the course.
But we move.
We do move, and we move directly on to Worcestershire, the mighty Worcestershire, signing Alzari Joseph.
What a capture.
One of his.
Was it? The last time I went to, like, you know, of a big West Indian, Shannon Gabriel. You know, when I last time I went to a first class game when I had the chance to, it was Shannon Gabriel's first game and he was an absolute gun. And it's nice to see that we've got another gun, but he's younger as well, and he's just I think it's going to do well for Worcester, like not just on the field but off it as well with the younger players in the academy.
Yeah, yeah. I remember going to see Worcestershire September 2005 in a one day against Gloucestershire, and we had Shoaib Akhtar playing for us, and he got, I think it was 5 wickets for something like 16 runs or something stupid like that. Gloucestershire were all out for 99. He was on fire that day. He might have got 6 wickets, actually. He definitely got 5. But talking of Worcestershire and new signings, hot off the press, we've made another one, which has been announced in the last few hours. And I know you're all excited about this one.
Breaking news.
We have signed Nepalese spin wizard Lamachani. That's how I'm pronouncing it. He's a 20-year-old leg spinner. Sandeep Lamachani will join the Rapids for the 2021 Vitality Blast. He brings a wealth of experience from playing T20 franchise tournaments worldwide. After just turning 17, he was signed by Delhi Daredevils for the IPL. And he's also played for Melbourne Stars and the Hobart Hurricanes in Australia's Big Bash. He's also played for the Leopards in the Afghanistan Premier League, and he will be reuniting with Worcestershire batsman Ricky Vessels after they played together in the Pakistan Super League. Lamachani, as I'm calling you, welcome to Worcestershire.
His stuff has quite a resume as well.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's only 20 now.
Jesus. That is quite a resume in 3 years. Jesus.
At the age of 17.
I'm not much interested in those things.
The double T's at 17.
Yeah.
That's a 17-year-old's dream.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, exciting times. The home fixtures for Worcestershire, I have them here for the T20.
Oh.
They kick off at home Wednesday, June the 9th against the Outlaws. That's Happy Pete's team. And then we play Lancashire Lightning, the Vikings, Steelbacks, Durham Jets, Leicestershire, and then the Birmingham Bears on Friday, July the 9th. So all the home matches literally start June the 9th and they're finished by July the 9th. That's okay, isn't it? That's all right, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll hopefully be going to all those with the £99 pass.
Yes.
COVID pending. Yes, I've got one. COVID pending, of course.
Yes.
Bang. So, any other business?
Oh, you know, last week we talked about Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury.
Oh, yeah. And our boxing podcast.
Yes, and I did get a message from someone I work with who said, I think that's a great idea and we should do it. So, watch this space.
Nice.
Sorry.
You okay there, Tom?
Yeah, it's just... Yeah. Oh, no, I just don't want to hear Mozzie on a boxing pod. I hear him at the cricket club enough saying he's going to box someone. I can't be listening.
So
I don't.
Like
I do.
Cullum on.
I'm still waiting for the fight. I just don't want to see a 50-year-old bloke knocked out, Moz. I mean, sorry, 55. We've got to look after the OAPs now, haven't we?
So, come on, boys. Are we going to turn things around in the ODI series?
Well, we've got to be positive, haven't we? So, come on, England. We're going to win every remaining game.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
We've not started a series in this cluster of games with a loss. So, here we go. Let's turn things around. We've lost the first one, then proceed to win the series.
Yes.
We've broken the holding pattern. We're in for it now. We're the best ODI side in the world.
Positive mental attitude, Connor. Thank you. I like that.
And JB's going to go in and he's going to hit 200. They're going to win the toss, bat first, and JB's going to score 200.
Jason Moore's going to cross the 50 mark.
Are we putting any money on that, Anthony? Mr. Moss?
No. And even, I'm not sure there's a bookie in the world that's going to give odds on that.
I don't think Jess will let you part with the money as well.
No, you're right. Correct. Cool. Well, I think that just about wraps up the podcast for this evening. Connor, great debut. Thank you very much for joining us. Darren, Tom, as always, it's been really good. Boys,
always a pleasure, not a chore.
Boys and listeners, if you would like to, please like, share, tell a friend about our podcast, whether you like it or not. Good evening. God bless. Thanks all.
Good night, everybody.
Cheers, boys.
Pleasure.
Ben Folks is the most beautiful cricketer in the world.
Stuart Broad is Cherries and Berries legend.
Glenn Maxwell is in the Cherries and Berries if boy Catherine.